Hello and welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host Vincent Sandy. Welcome from wherever you're listening to from the world. Thank you for listening to this radio show. Thank you for tuning in to this beautiful episode. This is one of my favorite episodes. And today, because I'm going to explain to you, I'm going to share with you some of the techniques that I personally use after my main meditational practices. So what is important to understand is that when you start, you have obviously your own meditation technique, and this is absolutely necessary. And then you go, into other meditations, into other journeys. And how do you do that? What is the purpose of doing those? Where are they going to take you? And if they're going to take you anywhere, because probably they will take you nowhere, which is interesting. It's much more interesting. So wherever they take you to the real self, the real awareness of your own soul, to the real awareness of your own spirit. And thank you for tuning in. First of all, I have a lot to talk about today. And if you want to call and have a session with me online, share what is your experience or whatever you want to ask me, it's okay. Then dial on your phone this number, which is 888-815-9756, and I will answer on the other side. Actually, they will pass the call, and I will be happy to talk to you and share what we have to share together. And remember, obviously, most of you probably already did that, but I'm going to tell you also this now, because there might be some new listeners, okay? This is a radio show that goes on every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Pacific, Los Angeles time, and 12 on Sunday. Every Saturday night for Los Angeles time, and Sunday for Bangkok at 12. It is a great show because we explain how to use metaphysical yoga symbols and yoga techniques, mystical techniques, in order to live a full life at many levels, spiritual, mental, and material, because we are here. And this is what we are actually doing in this world. We trying to learn all the methods and techniques to transcend this world, not so that we don't have to, so we don't need to come back anymore somehow. This is the great philosophy of yoga that I love. But what is important to understand, that yoga is not a philosophy. Whatever it's coming from a philosophy, when people say, well, this is a philosophy, it's not. In yoga, it is absolutely not a philosophy, because philosophy usually can mean love for truth, but yoga, philosophy, comes from truth itself, comes from the perception of truth. It comes from direct experience. And this is what I would like to tell today. Through these meditation practices, experience. Make experience direct connection with the universe, direct connection with your own self, direct connection with your own life. The main point, the main factor. It is absolutely important for you to understand this. Because we don't want to be spiritual parrots. We don't want to wear a spiritual mask, okay? We just want to be ourselves. We want to be happy with ourselves. And let me tell you, there are so many techniques available in this world. You don't need to know them all. You just need to know what's working for you and eventually move on through life and change. But still, you need one of two techniques that are absolutely solid in your practice, that ground you. And those techniques have to accompany you for all your life, or if you change a technique, it's a major change, you know what I mean? Basically, one of these techniques could be the Hong Sa technique that I've shared with you many times, and that are the techniques of the Kriya Yoga path, for example, the Hong Sa, then there are more advanced ones, there are the Om technique, there is the Kriya Yoga practice, proper technique, and there are more the advanced technique as well. I mean, if you follow that path, those techniques are fantastic. Or otherwise, whatever your path is, respect your path, respect yourself, know that your temperament is unique, you have to respect your temperament. And from there, then you can expand your practice through these techniques that I'm going to share with you. So these techniques are not just in relation to a particular path, but they are in relation to universal experiences, okay? So whatever your practice is, whether if you're a Sufi, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Hindu, if you're a Christian, if whatever religion you come from, religion, remember, it means reconnect, rilegare, it comes from that verb, rilegare, it means reconnect. This is the real meaning of religion, to reconnect you with God, with the universal part within yourself that is God within yourself. and from there understand that the same universal part is present in each and every one of us, and from that point on, move on to realize that you're not you, that you're everyone, and then eventually God, okay? Now, it is obviously very important that you don't think you're God before you actually realize it, because otherwise that's just an assumption of the ego. Okay, let's move on. Necessity to have one main technique, really important today to understand this thing. And the main technique that you might have might be a technique that has a form or might be a technique that doesn't have a form. So let me explain that a little bit more. For example, one is called saguna, you know, it makes you in contact with God through a form, or that makes you in contact with God through a way of practicing that technique that doesn't relate to a form in particular. For example, if you recite the Om mantra many times, okay, that is without form, because the Om doesn't relate to a particular, is the sound that pervades all the universe. All forms of the universe are created through this wonderful, beautiful, vibrational sound, Om. Therefore, it doesn't have a form. Or other techniques, you know, when you just say a mantra and it will just bring you to certain depths of your being without having a form in particular in mind. That is a meditation without form. There's no form. God is seen as an infinite reality. It doesn't have a face. It doesn't have anything, okay? It doesn't have attributes. It doesn't have the three attributes of creation, which are Rajas, Tamas, and Sattva. Tamas is the lower, is the lowest, is where, for example, the darkness is, ignorance. Then we have Rajas, which is heat, activity. And then we have Rajas, which is the most harmonic attribute of creation, the most beautiful, when we see beauty and harmony and everything flows very beautifully. So this is, but these are already three attributes in creation. If you get stuck in any of these, doesn't matter if it's Tamas, Rajas, or Sattva, you cannot really get out of your own self. This is important to understand. But it's better to be in Sattva instead of Tamas, because when you go to Tamas, the thick layer between you and the perception of the universe cannot be broken easily. But if you are into Sattva, that layer becomes thin. Therefore, it is easier to break, and it's easier to tap into that level of the universe where you can actually perceive yourself as the universe present within you. Then there are other kind of techniques that are, for example, saguna with form. Okay, what is it? When you meditate and you pray Christ, when you meditate and you pray a certain kind of energy, I prefer divine consciousness in the Hindu system. Okay, that people can call it deities, whatever, but I think it's divine consciousness, an aspect of divine consciousness. That is a meditation with forms called saguna kind of meditation, because saguna Brahman is the form of the universe that manifests itself into a certain state of consciousness, and you tune yourself into that, and through that you get into the infinite. Well, the final point of each meditation is obviously to transcend whatever form you're meditating on by going beyond the limitation of your own self, transcending that form and staying in tune with the universe. These are important concepts because we need to understand this main difference. At some point, we will feel, if we don't know it, we will feel at some point that we might want to step beyond forms, and not many people can do that kind of meditation. That's why most of you, and most of us anyway, are actually meditating with a form. But the Hong Sa meditation technique is a meditation technique without form. There's no form. Yes, it has a meaning. It means I, Hong Sa, He. I offer myself into He, and He can be the highest potential within you, God, the universe, the greatest intelligence, anything, anything, okay? But it is a meditation without a specific form. Instead, if you meditate upon Christ or upon a great master, then you're actually meditating on a form until you get magnetized by that form, you get in tune with the form to that level that you transcend you transcend that form, because you forget about yourself, you get totally absorbed in the form, and that form, because it's a divine form, of course, it has to be a divine form, then it would put you in tune with the divine. It is important to understand these two differences, because we want to know what kind of meditation we're doing. At some point, we will feel the need to move from form to without form, to no form, or from no form to form, according to which situation we're living in life. Sometimes it is really important to understand that even if we meditate without form, if we practice a meditation that doesn't relate to any form in particular, we have not yet exhausted all the karma that we are going through, or we not yet have exhausted all the challenges in our life. It is so easy. So we want to meditate on a form in order to understand the secrets behind that form, in order to understand what is actually happening, what actually we could do in order to sort out a problem. And this is so important, because in this world, we are at the center of the universe, in our soul, in the heart, and in the mind, and there are so many bridges from ourselves, from the center of ourselves, to many different realities. Sometimes life tells us, or we don't understand why, we don't know how, we don't know how, we have to move on from this picture to another picture. How do you do that? You have to understand what is the bridge that connects these two things. And this is why meditation at some point becomes really handy. You want to move from one level to another, then you have to meditate. You have to understand how meditation is like. What kind of meditation do you need so that you can walk that bridge and move from this picture to another picture, to the new picture of yourself. But before, you have to reveal the path. How do you reveal the path? Meditating on the form, on the symbols, that the new reality, the new picture, evoke. Okay, before we delve into the meditations a little deeper, because I'm going to explain to you certain kinds of techniques in order to do that, and these are techniques, I repeat, that you can practice after your main meditation technique. You have to decide one main meditation technique first. This is my suggestion, my experience, because otherwise, these techniques, if they're not approach from a level that is deep, they might become just trips of the mind instead of you attuning to those subtle qualities. This is a key point, okay? Before we move on and actually explain certain beautiful techniques, first of all, the importance of pranayama. Do some pranayama. You can buy a book, a yoga book. I'm sure everyone has a yoga book, probably, in his own home. Pick up one book, do two kinds of different breathing techniques, pranayama. Do you know why it is important? Because you need to control your life force. The life force is the energy that is within you that can either go outside or can go inside. The state of one's mind, it is also directly related to one's breath. Therefore, when you do pranayama, which is breathing techniques, yogic breathing techniques, you change consciousness. You go automatically to a different state of consciousness. It might not happen the first day. It might happen after a week. You will start feeling the difference. Even I'm sure after the first time, if you do it with a certain amount of concentration and absorption, you will absolutely see the difference. Your mind is directly related to the state of your own breath. If you breathe quickly, your mind is totally restless. It cannot go within. Heaven is within. Everybody talks about happiness being within, your resources being within. You know, you've read that sentence so many times. Everything is within you. People say, where is it? I don't know. Well, it is there if you just find a way to go within. The mind, when it's restless, it will keep pushing you from one side, from the left to the right, from the good towards the bad, or vice versa. What you want to do is to get to a place where you are at your center. If you're breathing quickly, you will jump from the opposite within yourself, from one opposite to another. If you breathe slowly, you will start getting into your center. and you start rooting your mind into your center, that part of yourself that is within, where everything can be found, where everything will arise. The fourth breath control gives mind control, which is really important to understand. Now, long and quiet and breathing patterns will make absolutely your senses more sharp, because you're not drugged here and there. You get to your you get to the center of yourself before your senses start to perceive the life at a very subtle level. What you see usually is the physical world. When you start being able to establish a pattern of breathing that is really long and quiet, you start seeing other things. Okay, at the beginning you will see your subconscious, but the more you connect with the divine, the more you will start seeing the divine. And another thing that is quite interesting, this is why yoga is so beautiful. If you start breathing slow, the time will change in your life. You will live at a different time zone. This is absolutely an amazing thing to know. It is like you slow down the time goes. It's very an individual pattern. Even though we seem to live at the same kind of time, you know, we have the watch, it's going to be the same time for me and for you. But if you start meditating slow, you live in a dimension where the time is actually diluted. And you will see what you can do in there. You can achieve much more in a less amount of time if you start meditating and practicing pranayama so that your breath becomes long and quiet and really deep. Now, you need enough prana also. Pranayama will allow you to have enough energy, enough prana within yourself to stay awake when you start transcending your mind. Otherwise, you would just fall asleep. And this is the reason why we're not awake during the sleep state. Well, people say, of course, if I'm sleeping, how can I be awake? What I mean, aware, sorry. You cannot stay aware during the sleep state because you don't have enough prana, enough energy within you to make you conscious during that transition between the waking and the sleeping state. You need to have enough prana to move from different levels of consciousness. Therefore, pranayama will actually absolutely be of great importance. Now, it is important also that when you draw within through these techniques, okay, you learn how to bring the energy up towards the highest centers of yourself. In other words, the word body is a symbol. It is symbolized by the chakras. They're all necessary, okay? But if the energy goes, I'm not going to go now exactly into the theory of the chakras because otherwise it will take too long. But if you know a little bit about it, if the energy goes down, it will reaffirm the basic nature, the basic needs of our life that can be also gross sometimes. And if they are refined, obviously they represent beautiful qualities that we all need. But anyway, if the energy goes up, then it will express the subtle levels of your own consciousness before a new world will open to you, which is the world that you must inherit. There is a beautiful technique, Kriya Yoga technique, that I'm going to share with you right now. I never shared this technique before. It's really important. It is called Navi Kriya. This technique will allow you to direct automatically the energy from the lower chakras to the higher chakras. You will educate the energy to go up, to perceive the subtle realms, to perceive the presence of God within you. So this is the technique. Sit down with your spine straight, your muscles relaxed. Try to do that with me right now so that you can fix that technique within you. I will explain this technique. I'm not going to go through the technique itself, but I will explain you. So sit with your spine straight, your muscles relaxed. Open your chest, shoulders down and away from the ears. Bring your neck in line with the spine without tilting the head back and keep your chin parallel to the floor. Now, this is important. Please relax your throat and relax the center of the medulla oblongata at the back of the head, at the base of the brain, between the neck and the skull, at the back of the head. Okay, relax and breathe in, and you should feel energy already coming in. Now, what you want to do is to gently look downward First of all, you close your eyes and gently come downward with your head, so bringing your chin onto your chest. And you look internally at the internally, you look and concentrate. Even though you have your eyes up towards the point between the eyebrows, you just relax your eyes up towards the point between the eyebrows. What you do is you concentrate at the third chakra, the Mars chakra, the Muladhara, the Manipura chakra, the Manipura chakra behind the belly bottom. And you focus on this chakra at the back of the spine. All your attention is totally there, and you repeat Om at that chakra 100 times. And how do you count 100 times? It is easy. You divide 10 times, and you count 10 with your fingers, okay? Now, in sets of 10 ohms, okay? How do you count 10 ohms? You divide it into three patterns of 3 plus 1. So it's going to be like this. Om, 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 om. This is 10 ohms. So remember 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1. But you think om. Om, 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 om. And then other 10. Om, and then you count 10 times. You repeat this 10 times. Once you've done that 100 times, then you raise your head, you tilt it back, and again it's the same. Tilt your head back so that the skull really is going backward. It's like if you were looking really upward or really behind your body. But it is actually the same thing. Your eyes remain up toward the point between the eyebrows, but your focal attention is on the Manipura chakra at the back of the spine, and this time you repeat Om for 25 times. So it's om, 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 om. Then another time the same pattern. Om, 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 om. And then 5 times. Om, 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 om. This is all 25 times now. And then you bring your head again in line, chin parallel to the floor. No ohms anymore, just focus all your attention at this point, at the point between the eyebrows. Bring your attention fully there. Your eyes have been looking up all the time, which is great. But now you also bring your full attention at the point between the eyebrows and the mind's eye. So again, you look downward first with your eyes closed, looking up, but focusing your attention at the Manipura chakra behind the belly button of the spine. Chant Om 100 times. Then exactly the same, only with the head tilted back for 25 times. Then you bring your head again in line in the proper position, sitting position, and you concentrate at the point between the eyebrows without chanting Om anything, just concentrating there. This is called Navi Kriya. This will bring the energy up the point between the eyebrows. It's a Kriya Yoga technique, and it is great for preparation to learn to educate the energy to go up. And there are correspondences between the chakras as well, the 4. The chakra, the Manipura chakra, is in relation to the spiritual eye as well. It's the lower part, let's say. So basically, what we're going to do is to educate that chakra to become more subtle and to go up. One of the things, it's not the only thing, but this is it. It is a great technique to do. For example, you can do this technique before your main technique, your main meditation technique, and after your main meditation technique. So you could do this technique in between, you can do Navi Kriya in between techniques so that you can recenter yourself, re-educate your energy, find the benefits of this great technique, absorb the techniques you've been doing, and prepare yourself for the technique you're about to do. And now we move into the meditation technique. These are meditation techniques that I've used myself, that I use myself nowadays, and they are really great for me. So once you do the Hong Sao meditation technique, let's say, and remember, you want to maybe record this radio show, maybe sign up for the membership at BBS Radio so that you can download all the episodes that I recorded with Awareness of the Soul, because there's a lot of information and things really could change your life, okay? So meditation techniques. I'm going to explain to you now 5 meditation techniques that you can do after your main meditation practice. And it is, that's why it is important for you to down, to get this show somehow. I will make it available in the future, okay? But, I promise, but the fact is, you want to record it because you don't want to use all this batch of techniques right now and then forget about it. You want to learn one thing, practice it, and then, again, come back to this tape, come back to this recording, listen something new, and practice something new. So, the first meditation technique that I want to share with you is meditation on the inner light. And I like, what I do is I like to relax and feel myself totally submerged in the perception of light without a definite point or object other than the light itself. And this brings me actually to a state where even in the middle of the most chaotic urban place, no, you can start seeing reality and people moving harmoniously in tune with the universe. And their character, whatever they do, whatever might happen, doesn't have a grip on my consciousness. Also, I start to know how to relate to the world, to them, without indulging in psychological games and various temptations. So this is the technique, basically, to relax. After you do your own meditation practice, you evoke the light within you. This cannot happen if you're not already at a very deep level. You evoke the light within you. You start feeling submerged in the perception of this light. How do you perceive this light? You use your subtle senses. Without a definite point or object, you start perceiving with your subtle senses this light and start to merge with it. It is a state of consciousness. If you want a specific technique to do that, if you want a specific technique, the technique is to remember, bring your mind back to a garden with a beautiful light shining on a leaf, for example, on flowers, on nature, on any surface you want. And as you gently imagine yourself detach that light, you start visualizing yourself as becoming that light as well. You become that light, and you start familiarizing with that light, and you start to understand that that is the light of the universe. Once you know that that is the light of the universe, you breathe in, remember to relax as you breathe in all the time, throat in the medulla oblongata, you breathe in that light within yourself. And as you breathe out, it goes to your, the organs of your body. This will soften your karma. This will elevate your mind. Breathe in the light of the universe, and then as you breathe out, relax into the organs of your body. And you feel your aura expanding. And again, breathe in and breathe out. Now, as you continue this practice, then you change. You breathe in the light of the universe, then you breathe out, let this light being absorbed through you, and then you give back this light to the stars, to the universe, to the cosmos, okay? So you breathe in the light within you, you absorb it, and through you, then you give it back with gratitude to the stars, to the cosmos, to the gods. And again, you breathe in, and repeat this. If you'd want a more advanced practice of this technique, this is it. Keep note. You breathe in the light, and you hold your breath at the mind's eye, which is the point between the eyebrows, and you visualize a vortex happening within yourself. Okay? You visualize a vortex of energy all around you going from the bottom up towards the universe, okay? In that vortex, you are totally energized, and as you breathe out, you take into this vortex the light. This vortex gets activated very powerfully, and it elevates you and the light up to the stars and the cosmos. The more you get in tune with this vortex, the more you understand this is a vehicle for you to go into the cosmos as well. Now, what is important to understand is that when you breathe in and you hold the breath in the mind's eye, the vortex is around you and it doesn't drag you from left to side or in all directions. You are totally centered. From your center, from the power that you have at your own center because you're holding the breath, this vortex is generated. And as you breathe in, you hold the breath, this vortex gets lit up. And as you breathe out, this vortex gets activated, but you stay always in the center and you get lifted up. And at the beginning, you don't have to force it. You just have to have the intention, the gentle intention. You just have to do this innocently, with innocence. Don't force the experience. It is absolutely important, therefore, that you already are, as I said, at a deep level of meditation. Therefore, you need to have a main technique. The Hong Sha technique is great. Otherwise, if you have your own, you can use your own. Now, let's move on to another meditation. So this is one of the favorite ones that I always use, the inner light. First of all, feeling submerged and then expanding this technique with more techniques. Another one that they love, and they really sorted out so many problems. I remember that this technique that I'm going to explain to you now is a technique that I discovered in India, and India is fantastic, but it's such a simple technique. I don't know if it's even a technique. I don't think it is a technique at all. Actually, it's the negation of techniques. But what happens is that after I practiced this technique, I could sort out great conflicts that I had with certain people because they would not affect me at all anymore. I had such fear in my great state of peace, and I was there, and it was beautiful. At some point, I realized this technique really did something. So this is the perception of yourself, of the I am-ness, okay? So this is one of my favorite objects of concentration, too. There's no object, actually, because this allows me to get to a point where, at first, I feel separation between my thinking, as well as the word that I perceive in front of me and my awareness. Then at some point, I step out of my awareness, becoming the observer of my awareness. It is like, it is as if I would have another awareness, this time higher, and revealed only to those people who go on a little further. Okay? And understand that their perceptions and awareness are on the same boat, let's say, coexisting, merging, but never, never meeting. And I know this one doesn't make sense because when they meet, we think they're meeting before they have a form, but in truth, they're not dependent on each other, even though they coexist. And it's a little bit difficult to explain. So what the best thing you could do to understand this meditation is to be aware, if you can be aware of the part of yourself that is listening now, not you that you're listening, but the part of yourself that knows that you're listening, the part of yourself that knows that you're there, absolutely present and aware and awake and alert. And if you can identify that part of yourself with something, with a quality, then it's not that part. You have to go behind. You will at some point get in tune with a part of yourself that is totally aware that you cannot really identify with anything that is happening in your life. Just that part of you that is totally there, present, that knows. Your awareness, that is your I am-ness. Who is aware? That is God within you being aware. Therefore, meditating on that, relaxing on that at the beginning it seems a perception, but it's something that has always been present, right? So that's it. So relax into that more and more. And do that repeatedly. And if you do it from a deep state of meditation, your awareness will increase immensely. And don't fight thoughts that eventually come up. They're all part of the same boat, but it's not it. Okay? It's not it. Every thought, just let it be. Just come back to the I am-ness within you, to the awareness of the I am within you. So this is one of the techniques that I really love to do as well. This is the second one that I'm sharing with you. Now, another practice that is really, really of great value is if you have a great saint, if you have a great master that you love, close your eyes and see his eyes, his or her eyes in front of you. See their face in front of you, and especially the magnetism of their eyes. And you can take one of their pictures. This, it really helps, even, you know, if you try to perceive them as alive, as present, as alive in that dimension of yourself, where everything is alive and present and vibrant, and you try to abandon yourself to them with a feeling of being naked in front of them, really put yourself totally naked. This is what I am. This is what I did yesterday night. And probably this is what I'm going to do tonight after the show, okay? Say something. Be naked. But you know what? I'm going to give everything to you, because I know that I'm not either good or either bad. I am what I am. I'm going to put myself naked in front of you, and I'm going to abandon myself to you. And please, if something is going to cause me trouble, help me change. This puts me in tune with them very quickly, helping them to have a definite feeling of what it is like to be on the spiritual path. Because after some point, you understand, first of all, that the spiritual path is something real. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to say, I'm spiritual, therefore I have to wear in a certain way, I have to eat certain food. You have to be yourself. You are spirit already. You don't live the reality. That's okay. There are things that you could do. But you don't have to be another person. You don't have to be another one. You are totally yourself. Your spiritual path is real. You are real. You are in your life for real. You don't have to wear a spiritual mask. Therefore, you're on the spiritual path. You become you, yourself, real. You offer yourself unto them. This is what I am. Yes, I want to be the best side of myself. I want to live the best life I can live. I want to be the best man I can be. And of course I'm not perfect. But I don't want to listen to all those people who have moral prejudices. I don't want to listen anymore to all those people. Just because they don't help me to be me. They help me to be, not even themselves, a dogma. Therefore, give that up, and you see the face of Christ, of Yogananda, for example. I used to meditate on him a lot. Or whatever is the figure that you consider to be the bridge towards God, towards the infinite. You visualize in front of you, you feel it alive, and you know that these beings have gone totally beyond any moral judgment, and you put yourself naked, and this is it. Anyway, they know anyway what you're doing, so just offer yourself to them. So here it is. Help me. And you get in tune with your spiritual vibration, and you communicate with them. Now, this communication is not a communication like they're going to reveal to you what's happening in the world tomorrow. This is really important to understand. The communication with you happens only at a level that they're going to magnetize your molecules, let's say, scientifically talking, so that you can become divine. And once you feel that attunement happening, you know that you're on the right track. So this is one of the great meditations that I love to do, because it has a great depth behind. It is not about you having to be somebody else, you having to follow a line. It is you about giving up yourself for a divine awakening within you. This is so important. Another meditation technique, let's move on. And I tell you, I repeat you, I'm going to tell you all these techniques, but you don't have to use them all, first of all. Second, record this show, take notes, or come back to it if you sign up for the membership of BBS Radio. I will make it available in the future somehow, maybe as a podcast, or maybe as part of a program. So come back to this and listen to this and learn these techniques and practice them. Remember, you need to have one main technique before. So sometimes I meditate on symbols. Okay, now what is a symbol? A symbol is an image, let's say, an image that can be an image, but it doesn't have to be. It has a universal archetypical pattern that has divine energy within it that creates the universe, that through which the universe speaks to you and through which you speak to the universe and through which you interpret and attract life to you. So I choose a symbol that I think it resonates with what is it that I'm trying to develop usually. So if I want to develop abundance, I try to find a symbol that for me is so abundant. And this comes there. Here comes the definition, because you want to have an individual symbol of abundance, and you want to understand that there are also universal symbols of abundance. If they resonate with you, if you can perceive them, that's great. If you cannot perceive them, it's better to choose an individual symbol of great abundance. But just try to bring it towards the highest possible, okay, that is benefit to everyone on this planet. Okay, so what you need to do is to choose a symbol that resonates with you. And of course, there are also symbols that are at the social cultural level, but it's always how you relate to them. But I suggest just stay with you yourself, the symbols that you speak in your own universal language and the universal symbols that are recognized universal everywhere. So you just, or whatever quality you're trying to develop, goodness, kindness, love, power, joy, all those eight aspects of God, okay? Choose one symbol that represents the qualities that resonates with that, what it is that you're trying to develop. It can be a quality, it can be a certain stage of life, it can be you going somewhere else new, okay? Usually, this gives me a feeling that I'm doing something right in order to get what I want as an after effect. In this case, during the meditation, I try to resonate with the symbol. Trying doesn't mean putting effort. It means being absorbed in it. I try to absorb myself in it, just to visualize it there and try to absorb myself in the intelligence, in the divine presence of the symbol, the divine energy of the symbol. I try to resonate with the symbol and absorb what the universe is trying to give me through it. It is like I try to stabilize only a part of my life, not myself as a whole, but still it is helpful in different situations of my life when I need to have insight and bring changes in myself into a certain subject. Now, before I explained in The Power of Dreams, there was a very beautiful radio show that I had over here. It's called The Power of Dreams, one of the many beautiful ones, and I explained that we have sometimes negative patterns, and these are generated through the symbols that we are actually having at an individual level. Therefore, if we can identify what those symbols are and listen to the radio show again, or just go also to my blog, thelifecatalyst.com/blog, and see there's a post there called The Power of Dreams. And if you can understand what symbols you have within you, the trigger certain experiences, then you can change them. Therefore, maybe you can revoke, if you get to the level in meditation, a negative symbol, and then you make the symbol fade away, make it really powerless, and you put another new one that you're choosing before, a new one that is empowering. And let's move on now. So this is meditation on symbols. It is a great, great technique that I like to use. Another one is meditation on the spiritual eye. And this is just simply bringing your attention at the point between the eyebrows, without doing any technique in particular, with a feeling of withdrawing magnetically all your energies into it, of the body, of the mind, of the soul, of the emotions, everything. Withdraw everything there, while penetrating that point deeply, until you feel there is a consciousness living, alive, there at that point. Try to relax. Relax. Don't force ever the experience. relax and feel the consciousness there at the point between the eyebrows. This will develop also definitely great intelligence, great power, great ability to penetrate into something, great intuition, great knowledge, ability to know everything you want to. This produces a strong interiorization as well as clarity and understanding. If done for a long time, it produces joy and power. It can be extremely energizing. So just gathering all your energy at the consciousness that is present on the point between the eyebrows, you can perceive that consciousness. So to recap, these last five techniques are the inner light, meditating on the inner light. We've been talking about that. We've been talking about perceiving the perception of your awareness, the I am-ness within you. Okay? Then we've been talking to meditate to attunement to the face and eyes of the God, the person, or the master that represents for you a bridge towards the divine. It could be Christ, Yogananda, Buddha, whatever. You visualize the face and you put yourself in tune with them. Then it's meditation on symbols. We've been talking about meditation on symbols, and we've been talking about meditation on the spiritual eye. When people then come to my yoga retreats, okay, what I do, and by the way, if you haven't done that yet, go to the main page of BBS Radio, go at the bottom, and you will see there's an ad. The ad is my ad, Life-Changing Power, Mystical Lessons, and Free Report from the host of Awareness of the Soul, Vincent Sandee. Then you click there, and you sign up for my newsletter. Now, Life-Changing Power newsletter, the title is not marketing. The title is what it is. You get, you know, if you're interested in what we've been explaining on the radio show, but also we explain how to use all these mystical techniques and practices and symbols practically, pragmatically into your life, okay? So what you're going to receive is actually a series of lessons and practices and methods that will help you to understand how you can change your life. So this is really good information, lessons that in 10 years from now you will still be using. They are absolutely, I believe, eternal. So the title, Life-Changing Power, it is not marketing. It is exactly what it means. So go on the main page, Life-Changing Power, at the bottom, bbsradio.com, go at the bottom, and you will see this ad. Life-Changing Power. And I thank BBS Radio for posting it there. Now, another thing is, you can go to my website, which is thelifecatalyst.com, but I prefer go to the blog, thelifecatalyst.com/forward blog, and see all the posts that I've put there. It's full of great and useful information, and leave a comment if you wish, so that people know that you have enjoyed it, and I know that you've enjoyed it, and that motivates me, and that also makes me understand. What kind of posts would you like to be seen? Because I have many things to share. I would like to share what is useful for you. So just go there, lifecatalyst.com/forward blog. Let's move on now. We have last 10 minutes, and I want to explain an important concept here. Now, I want to take you a little bit through the elements. I want to... Another meditation, there are so many meditation practices, okay? But one of the journeys that I take through people when they come to the yoga retreats that I teach here in Thailand in the south, and they are beautiful yoga retreats. Now, what they do over here, over there, we go through many yoga sessions, obviously, and then after some point, we meditate, and then I take them through a journey through the elements. Because the elements are the mystical energies at the base of creation. Mastering the elements means also mastering your life. Because those are the substance through which creation is made at many levels. And they reflect in the qualities of your mind and body, of your character as well. So it is good to meditate, for example, for a week. If you're a very deep meditator, then it takes less. But if you could meditate for a week on each element, earth element, water element, fire element, and air element. And there are so many ways you can attune yourself to these elements. There are so many ways. doesn't matter. Just try to attune yourself to these elements. So, for example, these four elements are at the base, and of course there are the subtle ones, like the etheric elements and the super ether. But what we're going to do is to focus, first of all, on the first four, because they are what is actually creating this physical creation, the creation that we're living here at the physical level. And the other ones are more related to your own consciousness, how you live it, the atmosphere of your mind, and as you go, as you experience these other four. So the earth element is about grounding yourself. So it is very good to close your eyes and to meditate on a rock. Feel yourself as a rock, feeling magnetized down by the power of gravity. Feel the pull of gravity dragging you down. Feel totally centered and still. Do not move. And as you meditate on the earth element, you feel this happening within you, and then you visualize a rock that you like, and you start absorbing those qualities into your being. Again, awareness is the key. You get in tune with the essence of the earth element. You don't have to get in tune with the rock. You have to get in tune with the essence of the earth element, which the rock is just a symbol for you to access that mystical power, mystical energy. Then you have the water element. After a week or so, you get meditating into the water element. The water element is a purification ceremony. You find yourself under a beautiful divine waterfall. The waterfall comes from the crown of the head and it washes away all impurities. This water is so sacred, and you're sitting on the lake, and the water just covers you until the sacral area, let's say, okay? So you feel the purity of the water. You feel that the water is totally pure. You're totally washed up by this water, and you can clean your system. You can clean your aura. You can clean your karma as well with this. You will get totally clean, and after some time that you've been meditating on this, you just relax onto the water and let the water guide you. This water is also the symbol of the flow of life that actually guides you towards where you're supposed to go. Once you've grounded yourself and you have found yourself totally fixed in your own character, you just let yourself go, and you are flexible still enough to let life guide you towards where you're supposed to go, towards where you're supposed to go. And this is the meditation on the water element you have to do for, say, a week. And after that, you can also during the week, you can also find other ways to get in tune with your water element. This is fine. As far as you get in tune with the real divine quality of that element, okay, it's really important. Another meditation then is on the fire element. The fire element is obviously also purification element, purifying element, but it's about energy. It's about, first of all, getting rid of all that is not necessary, burning away all that is not necessary so that you can shine with energy and light. Before you enter into a temple, a sacred and secret temple only revealed to people who are going through a sacred path, then you go into this temple full of beautiful columns. You go, and at the end you see this beautiful fire near the altar. This fire is not a burning fire. It's a fire that is absolutely cosmic. And it doesn't have bad repercussions, just purifying. It's a cosmic fire. So you start in the form of wood sticks. You throw into this fire all limitations, all challenges, all constrictions that you're going through. You throw into the fire, to the form of wood sticks, all these limitations. You see them transmuting. See all this limitation burning away, disappearing into the fire. And then you step into the fire yourself, and you see all that is not necessary within you melting away until the pure essence of you remains alive, which is pure light. And at some point, all at once, take time to do that, all at once, everything disappears. You are in total darkness, and the only thing that is present in the universe for now, it's you and this light, the light that you are. And from this reality and gently come back into where you were meditating, enter again into your body, and again reawaken. And this is the meditation, the fire element. Then there is the air element. After you've grounded yourself, you're still flexible to move through life, and you learn how to direct the energy, become pure, and avoid all the energy that is not necessary. You have accomplished something. The air element is finally about resting. That is when you step beyond your own limited self. And what you do in the air element is to visualize yourself on top of a cliff, and you jump all at once into the air, and in that jump, you become air itself. Your form totally dissolves into the air. You retain consciousness. You retain awareness. That is you. And you start moving everywhere around in the air, being you, the air yourself, seeing people moving around, going, and you see that you're the air. You see them from that perspective. You can really listen. You can really tolerate. You can really be compassionate. Then you come back gently into your body. And this is the main four elements. Once you have done and experienced deeply these meditation practices on the elements, then you move on to the subtler elements, the rising above the watery elements. So you rise above those, and then you start meditating on the space. That space, the power of the universe, the Om sound that permeates. Once you step out of yourself and you move around and you're able to listen to people, then you realize that you have that cosmic power of the Om that melts everyone, that is in everyone. That is the etheric element of the Om base of the Om chakra. And after that, you know now that you are not yourself anymore. Another meditation is that of total surrendering. The moon, symbol of your identity, your emotions, your ego, also to the sun of spirit, then you're really ready to offer yourself. So you offer your own ego and you visualize the medulla oblongata, which is the seat of the moon center symbolically, and you offer this moon up to the bottom between the eyebrows, continuously. Because now you know that the same sound, the same vibration is present in everyone, through the element, through the etheric element. Now you're ready to give up, to become what you were supposed to be, divine. Thank you for listening to Awareness of the Soul. Come to my blog, thelifecatalyst.com/blog. Go to the main page of BBS Radio, and bbsradio.com, then come down at the bottom and Life Changing Power newsletter. If you don't have it already, if you haven't signed up already, thank you. Contact me if you're in need for personal coaching. I would be happy to stay in tune with you. And in order to do that, just go to my website and go to products and coaching and then qualify for the coaching. Thank you so much for listening to this radio show. I hope you will be here next week, 10 p.m. Pacific, BBS Radio, Saturday night, and 12 noon, Bangkok time. Thank you so very much from Vincent Sandy, Awareness of the Soul. Goodbye.